You're listening to the West End Frame Show.
Hello and welcome to the West End Frame Show, putting theatre in the frame and bringing you all the latest updates from theatreland. I'm your host and West End Frame editor, Andrew Tomlins, and I'm very excited about the conversations I'm going to be able to have with today's co-host, because he lives a very exciting double life by the sound of things. On one hand, he's a theatre producer. He works alongside his partner and friend of the show, Sinead Holmes, on West End Musical Productions. They are responsible for West End Musical Brunch, West End Musical Drive-In, the upcoming West End Musical Celebration concerts at the Palace Theatre, and the stream production of the musical Disenchanted. He is also one of the UK's leading personal development coaches. As the Schema coach, he works with lots of West End and theatrical talent, as well as stars of soaps and reality TV. The list goes on. So welcome to the West End Frame Show, Chris Stewart.
Thanks very much. Glad to be here.
You do live this crazy double life, right? Because on one hand, well, I guess it all kind of comes together because it's lots of it is theatre related, but you have your producer hat that you have to wear a lot of the time. And then you have your personal development coaching hat that you put on. So it must be some crazy days where you're doing both and bringing it all together.
Indeed. I guess there's a correlation between psychology and art. And I think the two somehow work well together. So,
well, at least you could kind of being a producer is probably quite a stressful role, but you're a good person to A, be working with Sinead, but also just for you to be looking after yourself as you're doing it. You're able to stay calm and to do things in a good, well-rounded way.
Yes, I have to make sure I've got a bit of the day just put aside for coaching myself. That's the way forward.
I wanted to talk first with your Schema coach hat on. I know we have lots of amazing theatre goers who listen to this podcast, as well as performers and all sorts of different people from different pockets of the theatre world. And I think personally now is quite a challenging time for a lot of people because we're dealing with this prospect of things slowly returning to normal, and you have that element of self-doubt creeping in. Can I do that audition, you know, like I used to do auditions? Can I win that pitch for a client like I used to do? Can I even just travel to London and sort out a trip to come and see the show? All these kind of things are slowly creeping back into our minds, and it's exciting and great. I mean, there's this pressure as well to feel excited and to feel everything's great, but also, you know, we do have this self-doubt. We all do have these individual struggles. So kind of, I guess, speaking broadly, how can people get through these next few months, do you think?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about why it's been difficult. So the whole time, this whole process, everything that's been going on, creates an environment of uncertainty. And wherever there is uncertainty, as human beings, we really, really struggle with it. It's like the fundamental need that we have. We want to be certain of things. We want to know roughly where things are going to be and how they're going to turn out. That's a bit of a paradox because we also want excitement and we want change, but we're trying to get that balance between the two. And at the moment, what we find is we've got lots and lots of uncertainty. And even though things are feeling like they're starting to return to normal, it's an idea or a concept at the moment. It's not something fixed that we can say, oh, we're 100% sure. You know, for some of my clients, I'm just about to go back into this show, or am I going to go back into this show? Is this show going to open this year? Or, you know, all of these potential changes that are upon us. And whenever we have that sense of uncertainty, we're going to experience anxiety. And what anxiety says to us is an action signal, a message that's being sent from our mind to our body. And what it's saying is something is coming that you're not prepared for. And we start to develop this negative and pessimistic mindset where we think of all the worst possible things that could ever happen. And we start living them out in our day-to-day lives, in our thoughts, in our feelings. It creates an environment for us where we can't be the best versions of ourselves. So what I do with the coaching is at times like this is try and get my clients back to a place where they are focused on the things that they can control, create their own sense of certainty, because that's what's going to bring you through. And that's also what's going to help you achieve on a higher level as well, which I know is important for people as well.
So, I mean, I was on your website yesterday and I watched your promo video, and I learned a lot from that kind of introductory video about a schema and what am I saying it right? Yeah,
you are indeed. Yeah, a schema
and what that is. So can you kind of explain the concept of a schema and what it is that you do? Because it was actually, it kind of, I guess, almost changed my perspective of how I viewed links to anxiety and various kind of issues that we all face.
Yeah, wonderful. So a schema is a very different framework for looking at and understanding the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we behave. So rather than kind of using a medical model, which is one way to do it, what we do is we look at things in terms of patterns. When something is a pattern, we can talk about it without attributing it to the person in a way that can be perceived and taken as negative. Imagine, Andrew, that you cut yourself in half and you've got one side of you that this is this healthy person who's optimistic, positive, has self-acceptance, and, you know, is going out into the world with that mindset. You undoubtedly have that side, as do I. But also, as do I, there is another side to us, which is our schema side, which I call the unhealthy part. And that part is all of those patterns that are effectively born from a place of not feeling good enough, not feeling like we are worthy, feeling that there is something wrong with us in some way. Now, that is different for different people. Different people experience that in different ways based on their past, their upbringing, their experiences. But there are definable patterns. And when you understand those patterns, rather than talking in general terms and offering general advice to somebody, you can talk in specific terms and offer specific advice to that person, which I found personally for myself to be incredibly empowering, and also working with others in the same way.
You work with a lot of people from the theatre industry, a lot of people from the West End. And I mean, you think about whatever your normal kind of person is, we all have issues, we all have self-doubt, there's always things going on. But when you're literally working in theatre, you're faced with rejection constantly, you're faced with people criticising you nightly. There's so much potentially increased room for self-doubt to come in, because you're constantly being faced with, was I good tonight? How was I performing? What does this person think? What are people saying online? So you must be faced with so many completely different scenarios and different issues when you're working with different people. It must be a huge, huge variety.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't matter if you're somebody who's, you know, just starting out in the industry and, you know, trying to secure your first job, or if you're someone who's a lead in a West End show and at the moment, you know, you are at the pinnacle of your career, it feels like it. You're, regardless of either of those situations, you're still going to get rejection. You're still going to be in a position where you're going to be judged, which is what, as people, and that schema side is most triggered by. And it's different. Sometimes it's walking into a room for an audition. Sometimes it's, you know, something on social media. So there's lots and lots of different ways that we can be affected on a day-to-day basis, particularly in this industry. I'm lucky enough to have had some experience in TV and film, which for me kind of grounds me in knowing what that experience is like. Although I don't just coach people from the arts, and literally everybody has a schema, I believe, and therefore everybody can benefit from some coaching and support in that. But I think my background positions me well to particularly help people in the arts.
What's your background in TV and film, Chris?
Oh, so I co-starred in a feature film. I've done, you know, TV bits, shall we say.
Yes.
you know, and I've trained in that kind of background, etc. as well. I was also a recording artist in Universal a while ago, and, you know, set up my own record label. And so I've got a varied background.
I undersold you in that introduction. Oh my gosh. So many more. You forget, like, two-sided, you double life, you're like a triple life.
Oh dear. I like to stay busy. That's what's important.
What do you think? Because last night, completely by chance, not because I was doing this. I watched the, I don't think I've seen it, the Ronan Kemp documentary that he did for BBC Three, and that was, he had, he experienced loss of a friend and colleague of his commit suicide, and he had no idea this person was facing any issues. I mean, this is different, slightly different to what you do, but there is this undertone still that we don't talk about these things. And I guess with even personal development coaching, some people might not admit they're doing it. There's a bit of a stigma over here, whereas in America it's very much encouraged, especially I think in our industry. Lots of actors talk all the time about going to therapy or going to see whoever they're seeing for whatever reason. Do you still think there is that kind of, well, there is, you kind of agree with that kind of undertone of people feeling like, oh no, I shouldn't go and seek help, you know, I don't want to have coaching, it's a bit of a, it might be frowned down upon, people might think I'm not okay to work with. Do you still experience that from people?
Absolutely. What I would say, Andrew, is that I've got a number of clients that are not based in the UK, so many that are based in the States, but other countries as well. And the connotations of therapy, counselling, coaching, pick one from the hat. They have different connotations in different countries, absolutely. I think the British are much more reserved and private. So it means that generally when it comes to, talking about coaching or getting help in general, there is definitely a stigma. I think that the whole idea, as I spoke of earlier, about the medical model, where people are kind of diagnosed with having things, I think that kind of perpetuates that problem. So a big part of the work that I'm doing is to try and move away from that model. And that's not to make the concerns that people are going through any more valid, because they are absolutely valid, but it's creating a space that we can talk about it openly and freely without feeling shame. Just totally, totally inappropriate.
I think it's so important that I really encourage people to watch actually that Ronan Kemp documentary. And he basically came to the conclusion, particularly amongst men, groups of men, this, how they just won't talk about each other's feelings, and how we all need, there's more we can all do to create environments where people do feel they can talk, and maybe they do feel more comfortable to go and seek help. And I think that's really important. But no, the work you do sounds absolutely fascinating. So people, if they want more information, your website is theschemacoach.com, right? And they can check out that promo and request kind of more information. But no, really, it's so interesting to hear how that comes together with your producing and your theatre and performing background, etc. It kind of brings it all together. It's great. But now we're going to dive in and have a bit of a stagey catch-up. Are you ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
So coming up, we are going to be discussing Now or Never and Chris's new show Disenchanted, as well as all the latest news about Pride at the Palace, the Matilda film, Diana the musical, and lots more. Okay, so first up, we are going to talk about this week's theatre news. And we had another update this week about the Cultural Recovery Fund. So a further £400 million in grants and loans has been given to cultural venues and organisations across England. These funds are part of the Cultural Recovery Fund to help arts companies while the pandemic continues and restrictions remain in place to help prevent the spread of COVID. So it's difficult, this one, actually, because a lot of organisations received a lot of support this week, which was really wonderful, and there was lots of great statements. But also, I don't know if you saw, but there's a lot of companies and producers, etc., who didn't receive support, who were kind of hurting, understandably so. With your producer's hat on, how do you feel? Because obviously you had a massive loss when West End Musical Brunch had to suddenly stop at the start of the pandemic. I mean, we had Sinead on right in that first series during the pandemic, and she was talking about it and the stuff that kind of happened. But since Sinead came on, you launched West End Musical Drive-In, and you've been one of the leaders in the industry right now of making things happen and doing things and pushing boundaries and working in new ways. So how do you feel with kind of where we're at right now?
Okay, yeah, thank you. First of all, thank you so much for saying that. Yeah, I think, you know, it has been a difficult time. It has meant that some things that we were doing that we haven't been able to do. But yeah, we've been able to reinvent ourselves. We've been very lucky, I think, in that regard. Whereas, you know, a theatre, for example, doesn't have the opportunity that yeah. we had to reinvent. You know, it's bricks and mortar, and it's, you know, you're restricted in that way. So in terms of support and making sure the support goes to the right people, I think that, you know, it's incredibly important. I also think it's important that the money actually gets to the creatives and the cast that are out of work. I know that there are a number of people that have fallen through the gaps time and time again.
Too many people, yeah.
Too many people, far too many people. And there's some great charities out there that are offering support. And there are great, you know, people that are contributing to those charities. But at the same time, I think it is the government's responsibility to ensure that all people that work in this industry, which has been so heavily affected, are getting the support that they need.
Well, it's an effective industry. It's an industry which without all these amazing freelancers wouldn't be able to bring in X amount of money for the government every year.
Yeah.
So it is amazing that this money's been made available to these organizations so that they don't go under and that they're able to survive and start producing some work hopefully soon. But yeah, still nothing for the freelancers and for lots of the people who slip through the net for various reasons in our industry, which is just not good enough. It's really sad to see. I mean, you have the Drive-In coming back, right? So that was the kind of big next step. And I came to the Drive-In, I spoke all about on this podcast, and had the most insane experience when Alphabet was kind of shouting at me through my car window as I arrived, and all sorts of amazing things were happening. And that was one of the coolest days. I mean, it was so cool to sit in your car and to tune in your radio and to be honking along to various songs. And it's all coming back from late this month. So, I mean, those days, they must be crazy to put together because it's so clever.
Do you know, when we opened the Drive-In, well, we were having discussions about opening it before things opened for the first time after the initial lockdown. And I think when we opened, we were pretty much the first live event happening anywhere in the country, which was, you know, intimidating. But at the same time, what an amazing experience to have, 300 cars. So that's, you know, over 1,000 theatre fans who have been starved of musical theatre, who are able to celebrate what they love together for the first time in so long. That was amazing that time round, and it's been incredible that has now run pretty much every week from then to you know, the most recent lockdown, wherever we could and whenever we could do it. So we're really excited to be able to bring it back. We've got, again, an amazing lineup of incredible artists, and we're so happy to be able to give them an opportunity to be able to perform and for the audience to experience it again.
But also, this time you have West End Musical Brunch coming back.
West End Musical Brunch is back. It's
June that it's coming back, is that right?
Yes, in June, yes.
And you're doing literally every Saturday and every Sunday, so it's going to be every weekend kind of throughout the rest of the year. So that was the first thing of yours that I saw. I came to that, I think, maybe Christmas 2019, and I mean, you're well into it then, and that is such a cool event. And I was saying, what you guys do is so clever, because you're reaching out to not just to the hardcore theatre fans, but just to the commercial theatre goers who maybe go to the theatre a few times a year, and it's a big event. And this is something that it's unashamedly stagey, and like it says in the title, what you do is a celebration of all things musical theatre. But it's so clever. But I mean, you must have missed it so much and be itching to get back.
Absolutely. It's one of our true passions, that event, because it's the experience that everybody has when they're there. We just get endless emails and messages after people have come just saying, it's the best day of my life, it's amazing. And, you know, it's so often, you know, birthdays and celebrations of their own, as well as the celebration of musical theatre. So it's just absolute joy.
I can't wait to be back at a brunch. I need to come again.
Yay.
Other kind of exciting news from this week was about Pride at the Palace. So
yes,
a West End
fantastic.
Concert called Pride at the Palace will be staged at the Palace Theatre on the 7th of June. The show will be a celebration of the LGBTQIA plus community in all its glory and is raising money for the Terence Higgins Trust, who do such important, vital work. So many incredible people are going to be performing, such as Jordan Lee Davis, Joel Harper-Jackson, Claudia Karaoke, Carl Mann, Courtney Stapleton, Leighton Williams, Faye Wheeler. The list goes on and on and on. So many wonderful people. I mean, I don't think we've ever really had a concert quite like this, celebrating this community in this way.
How have we not?
I know.
It's unbelievable. But thank that it's happening now. You know?
Not totally not in the West End like this. So, I mean, that's going to be an amazing, amazing night. And there's so many of these concerts popping up at the moment. And one of them is being done by you. But you were supposed to be doing this West End musical. What was the original name? It was
West End Musical Christmas. Yeah, we had this amazing Christmas show that we were all good to go until about 2 days before the show.
If it was like a couple of days early, it would have gone ahead, right?
And
we went into that lockdown at Christmas.
Very difficult, very heartbreaking. But it has been rescheduled, so it will be taking place. And it's now just following the general theme of what we do, which is it's a celebration. And as certainty comes back and as we start to move to getting theatres opened, you know, this is the show to celebrate that and just enjoy yourself, have a great time and just be around absolute talent. It's going to be wonderful. Can't wait.
I feel like there are people who are sad it's not going to be a Christmas concert. I feel like some people would have secretly lived for a Christmas concert in June.
I'm one of them. I would be there for it for sure. I think we absolutely do want to do that particular version of the show at some point. But this celebration show, we are, you know, equally as excited about. And we just feel like it's the right show in the right moment. It's fitting for where we are. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about being not new producers, but I guess kind of rising upcoming producers in this time? I think maybe the work that you've done is more people realise. I don't think I realised at first that you and Sinead were necessarily behind West End Musical Brunch. It was kind of like you saw the kind of the brands more than the people. By default of what's happened, we have seen more of you both because of Instagram lives and Zooms and Drive It, you know, all these things. We've kind of, I guess, people have come more aware of who you two are, and now you are doing stuff that's coming to the West End, and there maybe are more eyes on you and maybe more opportunities and doors being opened. So how does it feel navigating that at the moment? It must be really, really exciting, but also I guess maybe the industry is responding in a slightly different way now. People just are more aware, and you have to that brings up more issues or different problems or all sorts of things. How does it feel to be a producer navigating your way kind of up the ladder in this time?
Yeah, I think we've never really seen ourselves as really trying to work up a ladder, I suppose. We've kind of taken the approach of that we want to do shows, we want to do events, we want to do anything that somebody can come and experience and can really enjoy and can walk away feeling like they've been moved in some way by it. And that's the focus, and that's where we're coming from. I think lockdown creates opportunities as much as the pandemic has created opportunities as much as it's also been absolutely decimated so much. So, you know, we've been lucky enough that there has been a space for us. So, you know, we're I think, you know, really happy that we were in a position to be able to do that and to contribute during that time. So if there are any more opportunities for us to contribute, we will take them with both hands and we will make the most of them, because that's what we do. We are one of the only Black producers in the West End. If you can say we're in the West End, we're still pushing our foot in.
Well, you are now.
But you know, we're really proud of that, and we want to make sure that you know we use the platform that we have created, but also have you know been given by people actually coming and supporting us to just do some really good work, and you know maybe take some of the risks that other people wouldn't perhaps be willing to take. I think that's really important for us. We just want to make sure that, you know, people are affected positively by what we're doing.
And I love, your in terms of representation, you're platforming amazing performers. Yeah, we have lots of the old favourites being used, of course, and they're wonderful. But also in your lineups, it's just really clever how you are able to bring through some different talent or some talent that we maybe just don't see enough of, which is really, really, really important right now. Well, it's always been important, but now more than ever. But yeah, I think you two are you're so clever in the way that. Like I kind of said before, you are able to do these things in a commercial way, and there's lots of amazing people trying to do great stuff and are doing great stuff, but you're doing it in a really great way, but on a I think on a different on a bigger platform, you're able to somehow make things work really commercially, which I think is actually a big gap in the market, and I think that works really, really well. I think it's really clever.
Thank you.
And I'm always saying, people have already been saying, I'm always talking about Shanae and people like Ryan Carter, and just there is that we do have black producers, we do have amazing black talent that is coming through, and it's so important to support and get behind the amazing people like you, like Shanae, like Ryan, because they're, I think it's important for the future and the direction that we're going in. But yeah, I'm a big fan, as you know. So let me fly through some other news. Stephen Graham and Andrew Risborough will play Mr. and Mrs. Wormwood in the film adaptation of Matilda the musical, alongside Emma Thomas as Miss Trunchbull. It's going to be amazing people in that. I'm so excited to see that film. The film production of Diana the Musical will be released on Netflix in October ahead of returning to Broadway in December. Controversial.com, but I'm very, very excited to see what it's like. Amelie will transfer to the West End for a run at the Criterion Theatre following its run at the Other Palace and at the Watermill. I think it came from a Newbury. And The Mousetrap is returning to the West End in May with a special all-star cast, including Cassidy Jansen, Danny Mack, Nicholas Bayley, and Charlie Clements. I've never actually seen The Mousetrap, I don't think so. I'm looking forward to seeing these killer names in it. Okay, time for some show talks. In a sec, I want to ask you all about Disenchanted because that's being streamed this weekend, and that's a really exciting step. That's your first musical, right? Your first full-out musical that you're doing. But first, I want to just mention the show that I watched this week. And actually, talking of Ryan Carter, this was his next production that he did in his role as creative director of digital productions at the Barn Theatre in Cirencester. So he produced this song cycle called Now or Never, which is written by Barn Theatre associate artist Matthew Harvey, who lots of people listening will know from he's an actor. He was in Les Mis and Murder Ballad, lots of amazing shows. But this is his first work that I've seen as a writer. And the piece kind of follows seven people as they each take a defiant act of positivity in their last week on Earth. He kind of created it, I believe, with the intention of writing about individual responses to global adversity without writing specifically about the pandemic. And it's all kind of very relatable, real characters. And the twist on this, which is in true Ryan Carter fashion, very ambitious but works so well, is that the entire song cycle was presented as a non-stop one shot piece. So it literally was one shot the whole way through for these seven numbers going to these different kind of locations around the entire building. And you'll see, yeah, literally it was seven different spaces. So I mean, at first you're like, okay, a cute little song cycle, this will be great, and you go one shot kind of all the way around in different spaces. I mean, it was pretty mind-blowing to see how this was produced, and it was so effortless and seemed to be so polished. Yeah, I can imagine the how frantic it would have been whilst they were filming it and bringing it together. And there was some really amazing, catchy music that Matthew's written for this. He's definitely someone that we should be watching. It's on this podcast soon, I think. We'll be talking to him in a couple of weeks. But this was really, really great. My only complaint, my only criticism, is that it was only streamed for one night, which was just criminal. It was so bad. There was no chance for it to build momentum and stuff. So I'm sure that we will see it again. The Barn Theatre have to show it again so more people can see it. And I'd love to see this in real life because it's great music and great voices, and it's just something that we need more of. But yeah, that's just another example of how crazy and off the wall Mr. Ryan Carter is, but another excellent payoff because it was absolutely incredible. So you're now venturing into digital musical theatre, and you're doing your first kind of full-out book musical, Disenchanted, which is a digital production, and it's being streamed. And oh my gosh, when that announcement popped this week with the photos and the branding, it kind of literally lit up social media. It was so wonderful. So it's streaming this weekend between the 9th and 11th of April. So how did this title land on your laps?
We were researching different musicals, ones that we felt were due a revival or being brought and being done in a different way, something that we could put our own spin on, as it were. And we just felt that this particular musical, done with a very diverse and inclusive cast, is kind of what everyone needs at the moment. It's very fun. It's a joyous occasion much of the time. But also it does actually touch on some, sensitive and significant conversations that I think need to be had. So, yeah, we felt that our way of telling this story is one that would be, very, very positive and empowering, but also I think educational. It really tells the true story of the well-known fairy tale princesses that, we're all very, very familiar with. But what it does by telling the true stories, it kind of strips away all the absurdities that we've kind of been used to. And underlying that are some incredible stories that absolutely needed to be told. And the whole general kind of theme for the show is about being, uplifting and being the perfect you. And that doesn't mean the perfect you that other people see or, putting on the pretenses. It's about, going back to what we were talking to about schemas before. It's about being your perfect self, your version of that self. It's about self-acceptance. That's a story we felt needed to be told.
It received huge acclaim off Broadway. It received Outer Critics Awards, Best New Off-Broadway Musical for the Off-Broadway Alliance. Do you think moving into book musicals or producing kind of fully produced musicals was a direction? Is that a direction you're going to move in further now? You've got more ideas. Are we going to see potentially a run of something in real life when our theatres are open? Is that kind of a direction that you might maybe be going in?
We hope so. It's always about finding the right piece and finding the right cast and creatives to bring that to life. I absolutely hope that there's going to be some great opportunities for us to be able to do that. So watch this space. Let's see what happens next.
I'm sure there's some things bubbling away. I know what you two are like. He looks very guilty right now, people. So you've got Tom Jackson Greaves directing this. He directed Chennai in High Fidelity, right?
Did indeed, yes.
So, and I know he's an amazing, amazing director. So you've got an amazing team. What was it like to be on set and to see this in action?
Tom is, I think, genuinely one of the nicest human beings I've ever met. He really is a beautiful person just to spend time with anyway. But to have leading a creative process like this, the detail that he went into with each one of these characters, the time he spent with every cast member really working through what the true stories are, why it's important that this is told, why this element that appears to be a joke also has a reference that is important to get across, and why that's needed. You know, he's done such an incredible, phenomenal job. And, you know, I think Tom Jackson Greaves is going to be one of the great directors of this country. And I'll say that and I'll put my money on it. He's wonderful.
he is incredible. He's very, very talented. And then you've got amazing colour. You've got people like Courtney Bowman and Ali Daniel, who's so talented. Sophie Isaacs, yeah. Ayesha Jawanda, and she can just do no wrong. Every single thing I see her in, she's so different and can just do so many different things. So many talented people. You were filming at the Umbrella Rooms, right? Was it quite tight? How long did you have? Was it a full out few days?
Insanity is the best way to describe this whole project, really. I think what we started with was a concept and the idea for the show, and then trying to, you know, put together the team and the cast for that, and, you know, walking through with Tom as to, you know, what the creative direction is, etc. But actually the rehearsal period was all done over Zoom. We had one day's actual rehearsal, and then we had the day filming. So it's unbelievable that what we have. The live stream, I think, is going to be incredible. And it's, I just think it's testament to the how much and how deeply involved all the cast and creatives were. George Dye as well, with on the MD, the hair and makeup. Everybody that's been involved in the project has really put a lot of time and effort into it, and deeply invested, which I think is just wonderful and what's required.
I'm very excited to see it. A few people reached out to me when I put the announcement out on Instagram, and they said that they know it and it's really, really great material, and so I'm very, very intrigued. So Disenchanted runs from Friday the 9th until Sunday the 11th of April, so not long, just this weekend. And tickets are, they're just £15 and they can be purchased at stream.theatre. Okay, I have a bit of a stagey question for you, Chris.
Ooh,
I hope you're
okay.
Ready. So I'm going to give you a time machine, okay? And you can go back and you can see a show that you're seeing before, and you can see it one more time. So something you might have seen growing up, or just before the pandemic, something you've seen it at any point. And it can't be something you'll produce. You can't go to West End Musical Brunch. what would you, something that would, you know, cure your soul, something that you love, that made you, that really inspired you, or kind of opened your eyes in some way, and you want to relive it right now, it would help you get you through. What show would you go back and see, and why?
I saw an incredible show in New York many years ago called Fella, that I didn't know came to the UK, and I missed it.
What's it called? Fella?
Fella, yeah.
Fella.
It's an incredible musical, and that's one that I would definitely want to see again, and I hope is brought back at some point. There's one other musical that we saw literally just before the pandemic hit, which was Hadestown, which we saw in Broadway. And oh my word, that musical is everything that Shanae and I love about musicals. It really touched us like very, very strongly, has been on repeat pretty much throughout the whole pandemic, like the whole year. It's just a beautiful, beautiful storytelling. So if you haven't seen Hadestown, I'm hoping it's going to come back to Broadway, and I'm hoping actually it will come back to the UK, because it was at the National, I believe, for a while. Undoubtedly Hadestown.
Are you a bit of a Broadway buff? Do you go to New York quite a lot?
Yeah, whenever we can. I think it's important. We love musicals. You know, I'd say, you know, for both Shanae and I, even though Shanae's obviously a artist in her own right, or performer in her own right, should I say, we are both fans. You know, first and foremost, we are fans of musical theatre. We love it. So it's we love to go and see shows, and yes, we will go to Broadway. We'll go wherever it is we can get to see them.
I know. I've been really sad because I often usually go to New York over Easter weekend. I normally go for a couple of weeks, but normally fools around Easter. So my kind of Facebook time hop on my phone, they've all just been so cruel to me this week, all my apps, and they've been giving me throwback pictures of meals that I was eating in New York and shows that I've seen, and I just miss it so much. I can't believe I haven't been now for for 2 years, which is I mean, just would do anything to go back. I can't wait for that first trip to go back again. It's the best. Thank you so much for doing this today, Chris.
No, it's been my absolute pleasure. Andrew, do you mind if I just say one last thing to your audience, if that's okay?
Of course.
If there is anybody out there at the moment who is struggling with anything personal, any kind of emotions or an experience that they've just gone through that they, you know, they're struggling to handle by themselves, please, please, please reach out to me on my website. I will speak to anyone as a first session free of charge. If you're able to carry on and do coaching, that's fantastic. But what's important is if there's something that you are experiencing and you're struggling with, is that you reach out and you talk to somebody. And I am privileged to be in a position where I can hear you and I can help. So please reach out.
And that's the schemacoach.com. Go and have a look. West End Musical Brunch returns from the 5th of June, playing every Saturday and Sunday for the rest of the year. West End Musical Drive-In returns for weekly shows later this month. West End Musical Celebration runs at the Palace between the 10th and 13th of June. And Disenchanted is available this weekend between the 9th and 12th of April on stream.theatre. You have so much stuff going on. Where can people find you on social media, Chris?
Oh, at The Schema Coach, and obviously at West End Musical Brunch, and all the others.
That's the go, yeah. West End Musical Brunch is the go-to place to see all the productions you have coming up. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the West End Frame Show. Make sure you subscribe, and if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave an Apple Podcast rating and review. We love hearing from you, so you can reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And make sure you check out our interviews podcast, In the Frame. This week, we're joined by Jo Aaron Reed, who stars Curtis in the West End production of Dreamgirls. And I'll be back next week for another stagey catch-up. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Bye.
Yay.